I'm here with Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Durant. Alexander, let's talk about Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon and The Washington Post, and Saudi Prince MBS, the de facto ruler of Saudi Arabia, and this bizarre story that Saudi Arabia hacked Jeff Bezos' phone, by putting a virus into a WhatsApp message as they were communicating. And this is an interesting story. And I mentioned the Washington Post for a reason, because a lot of this story ties into the Khashoggi murder and also ties into Bezos' affair with Lauren Sanchez. Then when he got the divorce and he was being blackmailed, he did a post on Medium. Anyway, this whole story is wacko. It's crazy. But it does tie into Khashoggi. It ties into his divorce. And apparently, Saudi Arabia, at least from what I read, looks like they hacked the phone of the Amazon founder and CEO.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a crazy story that I have to say, for a long time, it was just, you know, I was reading all these things and saying to myself, is any of this really possible? Anyway, let's just recapitulate on what we've been told. Apparently, it all begins in March 2018, when MBS and his entourage are traveling around the world talking about MBS's great reform program. And he meets up with Bezos, Jeff Bezos, in some social event. And they then meet again and exchange phone numbers, mobile phone numbers, as people do. And then a short time afterwards, a video came down this, came from MBS's account. People are very careful to say MBS's account, that, you know, presumably if it's a WhatsApp message, it's MBS himself on his mobile phone who's managing his own account. Anyway, a video of some sort came to Bezos's phone, and it's not even clear whether Bezos opened the video, but supposedly this video contained malware, and the result is that thereafter Bezos's phone got hacked. Now, as we all know, shortly after that, Khashoggi, the journalist who had been writing columns critical of MBS in the Washington Post, was lured to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul and was murdered there by Saudi security officials. And his body was apparently dismembered. And to this day, exact whereabouts of that body are not clear. And the Saudis initially denied that they had anything to do with it. And then it turned out that they did do it, and they admitted that they did. But of course, MBS has denied that he had any role in it whatsoever. And various people, unfortunate people in Saudi Arabia, have been arrested, tried for this murder. And a short time ago, I was getting reports that some of them had been executed for it. So really rather ugly story. But bear in mind that Khashoggi, at the time when MBS and Jeff Bezos were exchanging phone numbers, was writing critical columns about MBS in the Washington Post, and Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. So that's the connection. Now, what we also find out is that sometime afterwards, all sorts of stories start to appear about how Jeff Bezos is having an affair. I remember reading all these stories, and you know, it was all supposedly what we're now being sort of told to believe is that this all originated from the hack of his mobile phone, and which was, as I said, done by MBS's account, and that it was all some kind of payback or the result of some sort of blackmail plan, which was connected in some way to Khashoggi, that in effect, MBS, I mean, to put it simply, MBS hacked Jeff Bezos's phone in order to find dirt on Jeff Bezos, which he could then use to blackmail Jeff Bezos into sacking Khashoggi. And then when that didn't work, he had Khashoggi killed. I mean, that's in a nutshell the story as I understand it, and you get all kinds of other bizarre details that you know you get all, as well. You get details like the fact that apparently Bezos says he received from Khashoggi from MBS yet another message after Khashoggi was killed, which Bezos found some way threatening or intimidating. And then there's other things about, you know, how MBS, apparently one of his friends in Saudi Arabia, is somebody who's in charge of the cyber warfare program that the Saudis have, and that this person, apparently on behalf of the Saudis, acquired a company that produces malware, and that this is the malware which supposedly was used in this mobile phone. Now, you know, I've set out the story because I think if we don't know what the story is, there's no point in really discussing this. Two things stood out for me.
Can I add something else to the story before you talk about the two things that stood out a little bit on the Bezos Lauren Sanchez part that deals with the Inquirer? Was that Bezos, supposedly his phone had pictures of those two together, and he had not gone through, you know, publicly admitting his affair or going through the divorce. And there was a story that Sanchez, Laura Sanchez's brother, actually approached the Inquirer, which is owned by a company, AMI, and he was the one, and the Inquirer says he was the one that leaked the photos to them, but he's denied it. So Lauren Sanchez's brother has denied it, and he has said that the Inquirer came to him to get additional information. So the photos were leaked by somebody else, and that someone else apparently is Saudi Arabia that had photos of Bezos and Sanchez. And Bezos said that he was actually getting blackmailed, he was getting threatened that those photos would be released. And so he penned an article on Medium. He blogged his own article, and he pretty much, I mean, just to make a long story short, he pretty much just, you know, came out and said everything that's going on. A pretty interesting article, and very, you know, transparent article to get from the CEO and founder of Amazon. It was a stunning article that he just came clean. And so that's just some backstory on the Sanchez Bezos picture, along with the Inquirer and AMI. Go ahead.
And it is essential that we know about all of this. Now, two things stood out for me, which is that, of course, all the story about Bezos's phone having been hacked presumably originates with Jeff Bezos. I mean, he is presumably the person who has his mobile phone, or and he's the person who will have had it tested by, apparently there's an IT company that's carried out the test. So it's presumably he who has spread this story about, you know, the fact that MBS hacked his phone. I want to stress that doesn't mean that isn't true, but I would add that the IT company in question was, they apparently think there was a hack. They apparently didn't find any malware. Now, I am not an IT person at all. I've heard it said that you can arrange a hack, and in certain circumstances, you can make sure that the malware is removed if there's, you know, investigation. So, you know, I'm not saying it's conclusive. All I'm saying is there's been no evidence. There was no actual, you know, finding of malware in the phone, and that this does seem to start with it with Bezos himself, this story, even though he's not actually saying very much at the moment. But the other thing is, it does very much fit in with the opinion I formed some time ago about the kind of rather peculiar person that MBS is. I mean, you know, if MBS is going around doing this kind of thing, hacking phones, hacking people's phones and spreading story, you know, trying to blackmail them, doing all this kind of activity, then, you know, what kind of a person is this? Well, not somebody you want to give your mobile phone number to, obviously. I mean, that seems to me, you know, an obvious thing. But there are still a lot of unanswered questions. Something seems to have happened. going on.
Yeah, there was also a cloud computing contract that Amazon was vying for with the Saudi government, a value anywhere upward of $1 billion USD. And that was the same time that this whole Khashoggi thing broke.
Yeah.
And that deal also fizzled.
Yes.
So Amazon was actually going for a big contract with the Saudi government.
Yes. Yes.
And then the Khashoggi thing came out. The Washington Post ran with the story, and essentially the deal fizzled. So you have that whole aspect as well. You know, the whole Amazon Web Services cloud computing business side of it. You know, Amazon is no stranger to getting government contracts, as it does with the U.S. government as well. And we reported on a story about this as well, where Amazon had a contract and they lost out to Microsoft on that contract.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, we do. And that had all kinds of political implications. And again, it led to Bezos doing all kinds of releasing all kinds of information via the Washington Post, which we felt was intended to embarrass Donald Trump. So we have all of these different angles. I mean, when you have two very peculiar and rather remarkable in people like Jeff Bezos and MBS involved, the possibilities are legion. But I am, for the moment, going to go with what seems to be the most plausible story, which is that there was a hack of Jeff Bezos's phone, that the information about his relationships did come from there, and that this was connected with the Khashoggi business. Now, if that is true, if this is true, and as I said, it's the view I'm going along with, because it seems to me the one where, if you look at all the facts, it's the one that makes the most sense of the facts, then I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that this is very powerful evidence indeed, that it was MBS who ordered Khashoggi killed. Now, I've never personally had any doubt about that, but if MBS is going to all this trouble to go around hacking people's phones and engaging in blackmail and leaking information about people's private lives in this fashion, because the newspaper, Washington Post, is publishing the articles of someone he doesn't like, that's Khashoggi, then frankly, why would he stop at doing something like that? Why would he stop? At outright murder. I mean, it seems to me such an obsessive and, well, I don't know, we're such an obsessive and wild and dangerous behavior that the kind of person who does it is a very obsessive and dangerous man.
Well, we've commented that MBS is very much unhinged.
Yeah,
we've
absolutely
said that before, but two things also come to mind, Alexander. Number one, the reason people like Bezos buy a publication and media outlet like the Washington Post is not because it's a moneymaker. It's probably a money loser.
Mm-hmm.
They buy it for power
absolutely
and influence. And Bezos has been wielding the Washington Post in order to get his agenda.
Absolutely.
Through. There's no doubt
absolutely
about that.
No,
and he does it, as we said, with the United States all the way up with President Trump. So he'll use the power of the Washington Post to help his other businesses, mainly Amazon and Amazon's dealings with governments. So you have that one aspect. The other aspect is, doesn't this MBS hacking, spying of the phone, and then using it to blackmail Bezos kind of run parallel to what we've been hearing coming out of the Epstein story and Mossad, and the fact that, you know, Epstein may have been, I think he was, but may have been a Mossad asset, or Ghislaine Maxwell was his handler. And once again, you have these powerful elitists, these people in New York and London, you know, that are running around in these very powerful circles. And they're all trying to get information, and one person's trying to get the upper hand on the other person and leverage the other person for favors. And this is the same kind of story coming out of MBS and Bezos. To me, it just sounds so familiar. And here you have Khashoggi mixed up in it all. And look at the fate that came to him. That's what I'm getting from this story. We're getting once again a glimpse into how these powerful elitists are operating. And sometimes it's as astonishing as getting these phone hacks and leaking photos of Bezos screwing around and having an affair with his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez. I mean, there you go.
Well, indeed, same thing with Epstein.
Same thing going on with Epstein, but it was a much more sinister thing.
Much more sinister,
but the blackmail was there.
Absolutely it was. And can I just say, we've seen this happening all the time. I mean, it's not just Epstein. Epstein was a particularly sinister example of what happened. But we see this also with the things like the Panama Papers, for example, going off to Panama, raiding a bank in Panama, a law firm in Panama, getting all these papers which prove where all these people have hidden away their money in all kinds of strange offshore accounts all over the place. This thing has been going on, and it seems to be out of control. But one senses that the reason it's out of control is because corruption is out of control. I mean, these people, as you correctly say, Bezos bought the Washington Post in order, because the Washington Post gives him leverage. It gives him power. He's able to use the Washington Post to attack his opponents. He doesn't do it directly.
Tremendous power.
That's what the Washington Post is there for him to do. I mean, that's his entire interest in it. And so it's leverage for him. Other people are seeking leverage over Bezos, so they're hacking his phone. Other people are seeking leverage over, billionaires by raiding law firms in Panama. It goes on all the time.
Or getting leverage over the royal family.
All that kind of thing, exactly. Well, indeed, absolutely. So this is what it is. And this is just one example of all of this. But, I mean, it does have a geopolitical implications, because more and more people around the world are going to see, that the de facto ruler of Saudi Arabia is, to put it mildly, a unstable, reckless, and ruthless man, and a gambler who always loses, by the way. I mean, that's the other thing about MBS. They'll be very careful about how close they get to MBS. At the same time, MBS himself is going to be incredibly, his paranoia. Because there is a paranoid side to all of this on his behalf. If he's going around hacking phones in order to get after one individual who's writing critical articles about him in the Washington Post, his paranoia is going to grow, because this kind of thing feeds it. If he reads stories all over the media now describing his hacking operation on Bezos's phone, he's going to be even more convinced that he's surrounded by enemies on all sides, and that will make him even more dangerous and more unpredictable.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story. It's a crazy story.
It's a crazy story.
But it's an interesting story, because you're seeing the power plays between, the two of the most powerful, richest people in the world. You're seeing how the one is trying to get leverage over the other.
Exactly.
And it's all right there.
It's all right there. Absolutely. And can I just say, I mean, it shows, one, how out of control this has become, how completely out of control this has become. And it shows the way in which they use the media, because, as I said, this campaign that, this blackmail that MBS was trying to do over Bezos, and this counter campaign that Bezos is now running against MBS. Because, see, I've no doubt at all that, as we know about this story to the extent that we do, because Bezos is running all the information against MBS in this way. So very, very interesting and very remarkable. And, we got a ringside seat and we're watching it all.
Yeah, I'd also like to say that this is the way that we've seen Soros and his whole organization operate, for decades as well.
For decades, absolutely.
Gaining leverage over politicians and people in positions of power.
Well, I saw that. I mean, I watched it happen in Georgia with Edward Shevardnadze, and the way in which all kinds of stories were spread about Shevardnadze. Many, most of them true, by the way. But it was very interesting how all this information was being spilled out step by step by various NGOs. including, I'm going to say straightforwardly, NGOs that were being funded by Soros, which were active in Georgia. And of course, that all led in the end to the Rose Revolution, which led to Edward Shevardnadze losing power and Mikhail Saakashvili becoming president of Georgia and taking Georgia in an extreme pro-American and anti-Russian direction. So, I mean, I saw it happen there. I mean, you know, from a distance, but I saw it happening. It's something very similar things were going on in Ukraine in the run-up to the 2014 coup. But it's curious to see it happening in this way between two such extraordinary individuals as MBS and Bezos. And I do wonder what the US authorities are making of it all.
Yeah, well, they say the UN is going to investigate this, so
that in itself is bizarre. What does the UN have to do with this? I mean, why would the UN of all institutions be concerned? I mean, you know,
because it's the place where all the elitists hang out, and the globalists. Well, that is it. Well, it's the UN.
Well, I'm sure that's true, but I can't help think also that it's partly because Bezos has found it difficult to get, you know, US law enforcement to take a great interest in this story. So he's, you know, pulled a few levers at the UN also. But I mean, that in itself, if you think about it, is very strange. I mean, since when did the UN become a police agency?
Very interesting. All right. Alexander Mercuris, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button. Click on that like button as well. Smash that like button and make sure to hit that notifications bell. And look for us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Please donate to The Durant. Your donation really helps us out a lot. Also, download the Telegram app. Follow us on Telegram and Alexander. The Durant Shop is also a place where you can follow us, and you can also make purchases of magic mugs, which I guarantee all our viewers will never be hacked whatsoever. They are hack-proof.
They're hack-proof, and they're pretty much break-proof because I drink from them every day, and you can see that they're perfect. They're absolutely pristine condition, despite my having, you know, had them now for roughly a year. So not a chip, not a crack, not a piece discoloration on any of them. And of course, they're 15 ounces. They are perfect porcelain. They balance well. They look great. They keep your tea or your coffee hot or your beer cold. You can see this one with Sergei Lavrov, who I am delighted and relieved to say is still the foreign minister of Russia, best foreign minister in the world. There were rumors that he might be about to retire. Well, he hasn't done so. So that's really good news because we need people like him. You know, we've just seen in this video how crazy the world is becoming. We need a few sane people around, and he is one. And Alex has also got a Durant mug there with the Alpha Force, which is Russia's elite special forces unit. That's their coat of arms there. So you can get magic mugs from our shop, amazing magic mugs. You can get amazing shirts. You can get long sleeve T-shirts, short sleeve T-shirts, V-neck shirts, or you can get fantastic, phenomenal, stylish Durant polo shirts, like the one I'm wearing now. And I've worn them not just for videos, obviously, but for all sorts of places and events and functions that I've attended, and incredibly stylish they are and extraordinarily comfortable to wear. And you get all kinds of, admiring glances when you wear them. So all our shirts, 100% cotton, all incredibly comfortable, all beautifully made. They too, I should tell you, I've been wearing extensively and thoroughly, and they're all in tip-top condition. So they're very hard wearing too. And you will also find, as well as our shirts, we've got hoodies, we've got hats, we've got stickers in our shop. We've got amazing things. You can help the Durant by buying those things. You can help yourself by owning those things. The feedback we're getting from our viewers who buy them is phenomenal. So don't hold back. Go to our shop, support the Duran, be the proud owner of all of these things, and Alex will tell you how.
Just go to theduranshop.com. You'll find links in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.